A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Tesvav, Nedarim 15b, pagination is 30. We're starting approximately a third of the way up from the bottom. The first word on the line is Holach, and then we begin at the two dots, a quote from the Mishnah. Ha'omer li'isha, a person says to his wife, Konim sha'ani misham sheikh. It should be forbidden by way of a neder of a vow, my tashmish, my intimacy upon you. Harezer belo yachal devoro, it would be a neder, and the Gemara is going to wonder how such a thing could possibly work. Asks the Gemara, v'hamishtabed lo midoraisa. He has an obligation, midoraisa, from the Torah. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, she'era kisusa ve'onasa lo yigra, he's not allowed to diminish her rights, and one of those rights is onasa, tashmish, that he has an obligation to provide for her intimate needs. Therefore, we don't understand how could he make a neder to undo a biblical obligation. And the Gemara says that it really depends what his wording is. Be'omer ha'noas tashmisheich alai. If his wording is, the benefit that I get from being with you, v'ha'loka nichale betashmish, and that's exactly what it is that he's prohibiting. So that even though it ends up in the same place, but it depends what the wording is, whether it would take effect. If he tries to deprive her directly of her rights, so then such a neder doesn't work. But if he is restraining himself from benefit of a certain type, and de facto it ends up that he won't be able to provide for her, so then the neder does take effect. And as we discussed in Maseches Ksubis, he's going to be given a certain amount of time to make good on the situation, to do a hataras nedarim, to work things out. But if he can't, he's going to be obligated to give her a divorce and give her the ksuba, because this divorce is the result of an activity that he accepted upon himself that's messing up the marriage. Our Gemara is only concerned with whether it is a binding vow or it's not a binding vow. And from there, everything will follow what he has to do to set the marriage back straight. Again, if he tries to deprive her directly of her rights, the vow simply doesn't take effect. If, however, he's obligating, he's restraining himself from benefiting from that relationship, so the focus is on him and on his benefit, his enjoyment, he's allowed to make a vow. That vow would be binding. The Amar Rav Kana, as Rav Kana said, regarding the woman, Tashmishi alayich kofenosa umishamshaso deshibuda mishabdisle. If she says, my tashmish, my intimacy should be forbidden on you. So she can't do that, because as part of marriage, she's obligated to him. You can't forbid on him something that he's entitled to. However, hanoas tashmisheich alai, if she would prohibit the benefit she gets from being with him, so she's restraining herself, usur. Indeed, the vow would take effect. She'ema achilim lo la'adam davar ha'asur lo, because he can't feed somebody something that's forbidden to him, or in this case, her. So if she makes a vow forbidding herself, or he makes a vow forbidding himself, it will be binding, because they're putting a restraint on something that's theirs. If, however, they word it regarding the other person, she's saying, my benefit that I generate should be forbidden on you, or he says, the benefit that I generate should be forbidden on you, that's not going to be binding because the other person is entitled to that benefit and you can't impose a vow on the other person. Now the Ran, four lines up from the bottom, poses a fascinating and intriguing question. We have a principle that mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. Mitzvahs were not given in a definition of hana'ah, of benefit. So that, for example, if a person has a vow not to benefit from a certain person, and that person is blowing shofar, the person who made the vow is allowed to listen to the shofar and fulfill the mitzvah, even if he happens to be overjoyed that he's doing the mitzvah of listening to the shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah. Because mitzvah benefit is not considered hana'ah in a halachic sense. And therefore the Ran wonders, amai mitzar, even when you forbid yourself, why is the prohibition taking effect, which is the distinction that we drew in the Gemara? It depends whether you're forbidding the other person in something they're entitled to, or you're forbidding yourself, which would be binding. Asks the Ran, why is it binding? V'amitzvus lav le'onos nitnu. Benefit from a mitzvah is not considered a hana'ah. And if it's true that he's doing a mitzvah when he's intimate with her as his wife, and he can't restrain her from that benefit, that's a mitzvah he's obligated to do, so the enjoyment that results to him in that act should also be beyond the concept of hana'ah and should not be restricted by nedarim. Yesh lomar, the Ran answers, that you can't take this concept of mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu to this whole new level. The ki amrina mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu, what did we mean when we said that? Hani mili lomar she'en kiyom ha-mitzvahs chashav hana'ah, that fulfilling the mitzvah is not considered a hana'ah. If a person is overjoyed that they did the mitzvah, and they give themselves a check in their personal accounting, spiritual book, that's not considered hana'ah. Avo mikom makom imishani gufei bahadi de mekaya mitzvah hana'ah mikri. But if a person personally benefits, his body benefits, at the same time that he's doing a mitzvah, that is called a hana'ah. The mitzvah is not a hana'ah, but if a resulting hana'ah exists, that benefit is going to be a hana'ah and could be restrained by virtue of this vow. Consider, for example, we have a halacha that if a person borrows an item and there's a law, be'olav imo lo yishalem, if the owner of that item is in the employ of the borrower, there's a rule that there's an absolvement because he's with you in labor. However that works and why it works, but that's going to be true even if they're not working on the exact same thing at the exact same time. The fact that there is this other dynamic happening simultaneously makes it a discussion of Ba'olav Imo. Likewise, in the concept of Kamle Bidraba Mine, person doesn't get hit with two punishments if he's doing two things at the same time, even if they're not necessarily the same thing, but he's being machal Shabbos, desecrating Shabbos at the same time that he's damaging somebody else. If it's in the same time period, we could have a concept of kamle bidraba mine, that you only get him for the more severe one. But over here, the Ran says, that's not the way this definition of hana'ah works. Definition of hana'ah is only if the hana'ah is the mitzvah enjoyment. I'm overjoyed that I'm keeping Shabbos. I'm overjoyed that I gave someone benefit. But the physical benefit that's resulting would indeed be able to be restricted by a vow. The one application that it would still be considered the hana of a mitzvah is that we find that there's some, after 120, concept that any benefit that a person derived, shelo b'makom mitzvah, it wasn't a mitzvah hana'a, is on some level going to have to be purged or cleansed from the system in order to elevate the soul. But if something was an enjoyment that was sanctioned by the mitzvah, he was eating the Shabbos meal, he was getting enjoyment from doing his obligation with the spouse, so then that benefit is included in the concept of a mitzvah benefit and is not included in this concept of cleansing, because it's a benefit that resulted from a different type of source. These are things that result from Torah living, and those are enjoyments that become part of the soul in a positive sense because they were the result of a mitzvah that was done. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.